The beginning of the end of Florence Williams' marriage came in the form of an email.
My husband and I had been married for 25 years, and one night he handed me his phone to see an email from his brother, only a different email came up, and it was an email that he had written to another woman, suggesting that he was in love with her. And that was the moment that I felt like my life suddenly changed.
There is never a good time to read a message like that, but this was a really bad time.
Yeah, we had friends about to walk through the door for dinner. So, in fact, they did walk through the door just as I was looking at this email. So it was terrible timing, and I couldn't, you know, process it really or talk about it. But I was incredibly distraught and distracted. Yeah, I had to plaster a smile on my face, for a while.
Sometimes what's lost. You're listening to All in the Mind. I'm Sana Qadar. Can't be replaced. It's all pretended. If you're lucky enough to have fallen in love at some point in your life, you've probably also had your heart broken. For science writer Florence Williams, the experience was excruciating, protracted, and really confusing. Now it's over
now. I had never experienced heartbreak before like that. I was stunned by how much it hurt, you know, how low it took me. And I was really surprised and sort of baffled by why I felt so much of the pain inside my body.
About 2 years after that dinner party email debacle, Florence's marriage properly ended with a divorce. It was the first time in her adult life she was alone. Let's talk about the impact of a breakup on the body and the brain in more detail. And I want to focus on the brain first. Can you talk me through what we know about what happens in the brain when people are undergoing a breakup?
We know a little bit from some neuroscientists and researchers have actually scanned the brains of people going through heartbreak. And what they see is that parts of the brain light up that are virtually the same as the parts that light up when you feel physical pain. So a toothache, terrible toothache or headache may actually register in the same place as heartbreak. And then another part of the brain that lights up is one associated with craving and addiction. So just as, you know, if someone takes away your cocaine and you're addicted to cocaine, suddenly your life partner is gone, your lover is gone. You still want them, you miss them, and your body has been so used to having the sort of dopamine and the serotonin and the oxytocin, you know, these positive neurotransmitters floating around from having this person next to you. When they disappear, your body all of a sudden feels like it's not in a safe place anymore. It knows something's wrong.
And in terms of the emotional upheaval that you experience, one of the researchers you visited and talked to in the book is Helen Fisher,
yes,
an anthropologist. And she described love not as an emotion, but a survival drive. Can you explain that?
Yeah, she talks about how, you know, the parts of our brain that activate when we're in love with someone, when we're falling in love with someone, are also next to the parts of the brain that process things like thirst and hunger. You know, that we have such a deeply evolved imperative to attach, you know, to other people and carry our genes on into the future. It's very, very fundamental and hardwired into how we work.
And then when we're abandoned, on the flip side of that, there's a rage that can follow, abandonment rage?
Yeah, she uses the term abandonment rage. Certainly there is a maelstrom of emotions that we experience, but one of them is you become devastated, but pretty soon you become pretty upset and angry at this person who has left you.
The other thing that was really interesting to read, I think this is also Fisher's research, is that for the person who's been left in a breakup, they spend 85% of their waking hours, for a period of time anyways, thinking about that person.
Yeah, you certainly become very obsessed with what happened. It's very hard to think of anything else. Again, because we're very sensitive to how other people view us. You know, it's been part of how we've survived for hundreds of thousands of years is by belonging in a group. So when we feel like we've been rejected or ostracized, we know on subconscious level that our very survival, in fact, is in threat.
The beginning of the end of Florence Williams' marriage came in the form of an email.
My husband and I had been married for 25 years, and one night he handed me his phone to see an email from his brother, only a different email came up, and it was an email that he had written to another woman, suggesting that he was in love with her. And that was the moment that I felt like my life suddenly changed.
There is never a good time to read a message like that, but this was a really bad time.
Yeah, we had friends about to walk through the door for dinner. So in fact, they did walk through the door just as I was looking at this email. So it was terrible timing and I couldn't, you know, process it really or talk about it, but I was incredibly distraught and distracted. Yeah, I had to plaster a smile on my face, for a while.
Sometimes what's lost. You're listening to All in the Mind. I'm Sana Qadar.
Can't be replaced. It's all pretended.
If you're lucky enough to have fallen in love at some point in your life, you've probably also had your heart broken. For science writer Florence Williams, the experience was excruciating, protracted, and really confusing.
Now it's over now.
I had never experienced heartbreak before like that. I was stunned by how much it hurt, you know, how low it took me. And I was really surprised and sort of baffled by why I felt so much of the pain inside my body.
About 2 years after that dinner party email debacle, Florence's marriage properly ended with a divorce. It was the first time in her adult life she was alone. Let's talk about the impact of a breakup on the body and the brain in more detail. And I want to focus on the brain first. Can you talk me through what we know about what happens in the brain when people are undergoing a breakup?
We know a little bit from some neuroscientists and researchers have actually scanned the brains of people going through heartbreak. And what they see is that parts of the brain light up that are virtually the same as the parts that light up when you feel physical pain. So a toothache, terrible toothache or headache may actually register in the same place as heartbreak. And then another part of the brain that lights up is one associated with craving and addiction. So just as, you know, if someone takes away your cocaine and you're addicted to cocaine, suddenly your life partner is gone, your lover is gone. You still want them, you miss them, and your body has been so used to having the sort of dopamine and the serotonin and the oxytocin, you know, these positive neurotransmitters floating around from having this person next to you. When they disappear, your body all of a sudden feels like it's not in a safe place anymore. It knows something's wrong.
And in terms of the emotional upheaval that you experience, one of the researchers you visited and talked to in the book is Helen Fisher,
yes,
an anthropologist. And she described love not as an emotion, but a survival drive. Can you explain that?
Yeah, she talks about how, you know, the parts of our brain that activate when we're in love with someone, when we're falling in love with someone, are also next to the parts of the brain that process things like thirst and hunger. You know, that we have such a deeply evolved imperative to attach, you know, to other people and carry our genes on into the future. It's very, very fundamental and hardwired into how we work.
And then when we're abandoned, on the flip side of that, there's a rage that can follow, abandonment rage.
Yeah, she uses the term abandonment rage. Certainly there is a maelstrom of emotions that we experience, but one of them is you become devastated, but pretty soon you become pretty upset and angry at this person who has left you.
The other thing that was really interesting to read, I think this is also Fisher's research, is that for the person who's been left in a breakup, they spend 85% of their waking hours, for a period of time anyways, thinking about that person.
Yeah, you certainly become very obsessed with what happened. It's very hard to think of anything else. Again, because we're very sensitive to how other people view us. You know, it's been part of how we've survived for hundreds of thousands of years is by belonging in a group. So when we feel like we've been rejected or ostracized, we know on subconscious level that our very survival, in fact, is in threat.